since I spoke at length at the beginning of the Mass about our different brothers and sisters who have passed away, and also I mentioned that we're welcoming our pilgrims from the States, I'd like to reflect on these readings in light of this great pilgrimage of life. In fact, we are in the Jubilee year, so we are all pilgrims of hope. And in today's first reading, Jacob is the pilgrim, or Israel is his new name, and in this reading he's called by both names. He's the pilgrim who's in a very strange situation because his father, actually his grandfather, Abraham, was told, go to this land I'm going to give you, the promised land. And so he lived in the promised land, and now there's a famine there, and his 11th son, Joseph, is in Egypt and has great power and has food. So they have to go to Egypt, which means leaving the promised land. And Jacob is a bit torn by this. You might remember a couple of days ago we read a passage about him wrestling all night long with an angel, or wrestling with God. That was when he was returning to the promised land and facing the anger of his brother Esau. But here he's leaving the promised land, and it's not an easy decision to make, but the Lord appears to him and assures him that he will go with him into Egypt. He's going to make him a great nation, and that he's going to die in Egypt. But after he dies, the Lord will bring him back, his remains back, to the promised land. So this is his pilgrimage. It's a little bit, how could I say? It reminds us of the puzzling stages of our own journeys. It's not always clear to us why the Lord wants us to go one way or another, or why he prevents us from going one way or another. We don't even know where we will die. We don't know when our pilgrimage will come to an end. Jacob is told, you're going to die in Egypt. He does it. First of all, he does it because he's obedient to the Lord. By this stage of his life, he's an old man already. He has learned how to put his trust in the Lord. When he was young, he put his trust in his own lies and manipulation. But now that he's old and he's suffered a lot, he's trusting in the Lord. But he also is going in order to see his son Joseph, whom he hasn't seen for many years, and who he thought was dead. He thought Joseph was dead. Now he's been told he's alive, and he wants to see him face to face. So it's a sorrowful departure from the promised land, but also a joyful reunion with his son Joseph. And isn't this our own pilgrimage of life? There's sorrow and there's joy. There's leaving things behind, there's joyful reunions. At the very end, there's this tender moment when they see each other for the first time and they embrace, they're weeping for a long time. And Jacob or Israel says to his son, now at last I can die, now that I have seen for myself that Joseph is still alive. So I've gone to Egypt in order to survive, because I need food and my family needs food. But I'm also now ready to die, now that I see Joseph is alive. You see this mixture of death and life, death, joy, sorrow. That's life. That's the pilgrimage of life. So we're here to honor the memory of Evelyn, for one, who died 1 year ago today, and the others who died on this date. But we're also looking forward to meeting them again. In this sense, this pilgrimage of Jacob is, even though he went to Egypt, which always represents the exile, but he also went to meet his loved one who he thought was dead. And when we die, we go to the promised land, we will meet again our loved ones who have gone ahead of us. When our pilgrimage comes to its completion, we'll be reunited with all the pilgrims who have gone ahead of us. And that's a very consoling thing. That's part of being pilgrims of hope. Yes, when we die, we have to leave behind this world. We have to leave behind what we think is our home. And then we realize, well, actually, no. We're just pilgrims, and this is not really our permanent home. when we go home to God. That's when we reach the end of our pilgrimage. And this gospel gives us also insight into this mixed experience of our journey. In this gospel, Jesus is not addressing his apostles as pilgrims, but more as missionaries. This is part of his instruction to the missionaries. It's a very realistic instruction. I don't know how people get the idea that religion or Christianity is an escape from reality, or how people think that religious people don't face reality. No one could read this gospel and say Jesus isn't facing reality. He's very realistic. He's very practical. He says, I'm sending you out, but I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. I'm sending you out, and you're going to face opposition, severe opposition, violent opposition. So it's not pie in the sky, everything's going to be great because you belong to Jesus. No, you're going to face opposition and persecution, maybe even from your own families. Jesus says, you will be hated by all because of my name. It's a little bit of an exaggeration, because those who love his name will not hate us, but we'll be hated, we'll experience hatred, persecution. But in the middle of this very somber, and I say practical, realistic instruction, he says, when you're in this experience of persecution or rejection, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Be at peace. You will be given at that moment what you're to say, because it won't even be you speaking, it will be the Holy Spirit. So whoever endures to the end will be saved. So here's this combination of difficulty and joy, of trial and consolation. This is the experience of life. But the end of the pilgrimage, for those who are faithful, is a joyful end. It's a victory. This is why we remain hopeful even in our lowest moments, even with our worst losses. We are still pilgrims of hope because of God. God who's with us, whether we're in the Promised Land or we're in Egypt, whether we're in a land of famine or a land of plenty, whether we're exiled or separated from our loved ones who have either gone ahead of us or in other places, or whether we're together with them, God is with us in all those circumstances, and he's the source of our hope. So we continue our pilgrimage through this valley of tears, which is also a valley of earthly joys, and we look forward to our final destination, which is not a place so much as it is God himself. God and everyone who's united with God. Amen.